Today's lesson is going to be from Jonah. So please go with me to the book of Jonah. I keep hearing in school that the best lesson you will ever get is directly from Scripture. What I say is, it's just words that come through my mouth. They are God's words sometimes. But this is directly what God said. And we're going to read the whole book of Jonah. It's just four chapters. But I really want you to pay attention to something. During the class, if you were not in class, we studied the tabernacle and the burnt offering and what it means to be worshiping God through that. The burnt offering was a pleasing aroma. And we saw that through Christ, we're pleasing, and He was a pleasing sacrifice to God. Now, we're reading the text of Jonah, which a lot of people think that the book of Jonah is just a story. There's debate outside of church that Jonah probably was just a myth. It was not really history. Have you ever thought about Jonah that way? That it cannot be true? But then we see in the Gospels that Jesus quotes, he makes a reference to Jonah and Queen Bathsheba. And through history, we see that Queen Bathsheba, she's real. If he's quoting in the exact same moment this queen and Jonah in the same context and how real she was, that means that Jonah also is history. The book of Jonah, a lot of times, is seen as a kid's story. And it is full of miracles. It is full of things that are so crazy that's probably why they think it's just a story. But we need to see it with the eyes that say that God was just doing what He knew He had to do. Because that was His will. So I want you to see this book through the eyes of something pleasing to God or something not pleasing to God. We'll see different scenarios in the book. We'll see the sailors. We'll see Jonah. We'll see the people in Nineveh. We see the conversations with God from Jonah. I want you to see all these areas as, are they pleasing to God or are they not? I want you to see that there's also communication between the people and God, between the sailors and their gods, between Jonah and God, and also the sailors and God. There's communication there. And some of these connections are going to be calls or cries. And we're going to notice the difference, because if you think about someone calling someone, it comes with certain authority, right? But thinking about someone crying unto someone, that comes with submission. So let's start reading the book of Jonah. If you're not there, please go there with me. It's almost in the middle of your Bible. So let's start reading. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" Can you think about an evil so great that God is hearing about it in heaven? It has come all the way to Him. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, This was the opposite place, the opposite direction from Nineveh. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. But the Lord, then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, God, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to them, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased, as it pleased to you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. I want to stop there really fast. In the history of the people and the nations around the Jew nation, it is really interesting to hear that they were crying to their gods, because they would think in those times that every nation had their own god. My God is the one from that nation. My God is the one from that nation. That's why it was important that they asked Jonah, "Where are you from? Who is your God?" Because they are from different nations. They had their own god. But something interesting is that they would think that their god is just in that nation. So it was amazing to them to hear that his God is the creator, but he's affecting us all the way over here in the sea. That was amazing to them. That was a miracle to them. Or, as they say, something evil on them. They were scared, they were afraid, because how can a God be so powerful that he reaches us all the way from their nation? They were afraid of God, what he could do, because they had their God, because they were sailors. And at some point, we don't see where, Jonah tells them, "I'm running away from my God, the God of Israel. I'm running away from him." So they didn't expect something to happen to them because, you know, God's staying in their place. That's what they thought. Can you see the power of God so far? That's an amazing story. In history, this would not happen according to them, but according to our God, He's powerful enough to reach everyone, even into the sea. It says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." This is a quote that Jesus says in the New Testament. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You heard my voice, for You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All Your waves and Your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight, yet I shall again look upon Your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon before me. Yet You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to You, into Your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to You what I vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I'm thinking this part, Jonah was probably really angry. Jonah didn't like them. He didn't want to call upon the Lord. He didn't want to say that they needed to change. We'll see that in a couple of verses. But can you imagine such a big city? Kind of like Mexico City, right? But it was just one man walking into a city, a great city. What can one man do? One man just calling to the people. And the people of Nineveh believed in God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked Jonah that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? The ending of this book is just sudden. We really don't know what happened after that. There's nothing else. You know, growing up, I always thought of the story of Jonah like an amazing story where Jonah was a hero. But thinking about what it is to be pleasing to God and what it is not to be pleasing to God, to be a burnt offering, an acceptable sacrifice, the best of the best, and what it's not, we see that all over the story. We see that the sailors became pleasing to God. They called to God. They cried to him. Did you notice along the reading? There are two kinds of conversations. The ones that are calling and the ones that are cries. When you call, you expect that. It's with authority. The cries were complete surrender. Complete surrender. We see that there's people like Jonah that know God, but stay away from God's will. And then we see that sinners are forgiven, and they become pleasing to God. This story, and this is just what I wanted to share, this story is full of good actions from people. But it's also full of rejection. But we see one thing over everything else. God is a merciful God that accepts when people reject their old ways. that accepts when people become pleasing to Him. God provides. He provides different things. He provides the storm when they're at the sea. He provides the fish. He provides the deep, the worm, the plant, the wind. He's a God that provides to make a point. I want you to see that in the New Testament. God provides. And His greatest provision was Jesus, who became pleasing and was pleasing for us. Because of Him, we are saved. And now we're pleasing to God. And I want you to see that. I want you to see that whatever happens, God is merciful and forgiving. Let's not be like Jonah, that knowing who God is, knowing His power, rejected Him. Let us be like the Ninevites. Let us be like sailors, that even knowing how powerful God is, we know that we're forgiven if we reject what we have done. So go ahead and be like them. Be like people that are willing to surrender to God, because we know how powerful He is and how we're pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ.